Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. It's great to be here today. And in today's show, we'll be talking about conscious compassionate awareness. We'll be responding to your email questions and we'll be taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon.
Good to have you here today.
Thank you. Thank you. I've been looking forward to it all day.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm.
Great. What are we going to be talking about today?
Let's see. How about conscious compassionate awareness? How about if we talk about how much more fun, more enjoyable, more generally pleasant and fulfilling life is when we are here, consciously aware and present, than when we are caught up in egocentric karmic conditioning?
That sounds great.
Yeah, and all we could talk about, not all, but some or even many of the things that we do instead of being conscious and present, and then some of the benefits of dropping those things and letting those things go so that we can be here, and maybe even some of the ways that we can go about dropping those things so that we can be here.
Wow, that sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
So if people want to talk about being present and what that's like and what we do instead of being present,
And how not to do that.
They should give us a call.
Yeah.
Toll free in the U.S. and Canada, 888-514-2100.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to email us when we're not on the air, and several of you have, the email address is openair@livingcompassion.org. And, of course, archives of all the shows are right here at the website, worldtalkradio.com.
It's a good deal.
It's a good deal. Sherry, while we have a moment here, do you want to respond to some email questions or check in with your schedule for the next couple weeks?
You're the boss.
Okay.
We can go in any direction that you lead us.
I'm in charge.
You're in charge.
Great. Coming up this weekend, Sherry, you're doing a workshop in Palo Alto on radical self-acceptance.
That is true, which is sort of what I was just alluding to, huh?
Yes.
It's a different way of talking about it, but it comes to the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah.
The only thing keeping us from the life that we want to have is non-acceptance. And the non-acceptance that is paramount in almost everybody's life is non-acceptance of oneself.
Uh-huh.
So as soon as we work our way through that and we find acceptance for ourselves, the radical part, of course, we can guess is a no matter what focus,
unconditional.
Then it's kind of smooth sailing.
Exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Exciting. And if people want to find out more about that workshop, they can go to sherryhuber.com and find out some more information there.
Mm-hmm.
And then in March, Sherry, you'll be in Europe.
I will.
I'm going to be in Germany.
For
There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll have a retreat at the monastery later in the month.
I think a couple of days after Germany. I was just looking at my schedule. And I thought, I'm going to get back from Germany. I think it's like on Sunday evening or something, and I start that next workshop on Wednesday. I thought, that's going to be exciting because I'll probably be on exactly the opposite the opposite time zone from everybody else. So it'll be exciting.
Great.
Yeah. And I don't know the title of that one. Do you?
Topic to be announced. That's what I see on the website here.
All right.
Great. Sherry, I think we have a caller.
I'm glad.
Great.
We do indeed. And this is She and Ma from Murphy's in California.
All right.
Actually, I wanted to call in, and I guess in some ways this is related to conscious compassion and awareness, but I've been holding this question, and so I hope you don't mind if I'm a little off the subject.
I don't think it's possible to be off that subject.
Well,
and even if you managed It is within my job description to make it apply.
Great.
We should be all right.
Okay. Actually, I just want to call and talk about my relationship with my father.
Ah.
And I think, you know, I've had a, my experience of it has been, it's been very tortured and very difficult. And I actually haven't spoken to him voluntarily anyway for a year or two.
Uh-huh.
And what I'm finding, of course, is I'm doing this awareness practice, and I've seen it, but somehow it's somehow, I think, moving more into the circle of compassion, is that, of course, the things that the things that I am, you know, have felt so abused by him, I actually can do myself. I am capable of becoming, of doing the perpetrator thing.
Yeah, let me just clarify.
I'm not surprised.
So the kinds of things that were difficult, that we would say he did to you, or the ways that he was with you, mm-hmm. you have realized that you can be that way with others.
Yeah.
You can
yeah.
do that to others. And I bet you've realized that you can do that to yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And so I've like somehow I've had this as a head knowledge, or you know, it's been kind of up there, but it mm-hmm. hasn't come into my heart. And what I realized is, it seems that somehow I've come into more acceptance of this part that I'm always doing the best I can, mm-hmm. and so when I act unskillfully. Yes, there's part that doesn't want to do that anymore, but there's not so much judgment because it's just out of my conditioning, and I can get to, which I've got to in my head, because, you know, I've had the theory for years, right, mm-hmm. about how stuff gets passed around from generation to generation, but somehow it's like when I think about it now, it's more like I can feel that he's just doing, I mean, even though I would say some of the things he did to me were much more severe than anything I've done to anybody, and
although of course, when we think about that, mm-hmm. the thing we have to remember is we're not on the receiving end of what we do.
Right, that's true.
Yeah.
That
is true. So, it's just one of those little things that it's good to keep in mind. Yeah. You know, it doesn't feel that severe to me, but who knows how it feels to the person who's receiving it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. And so what I've come to, you know, is to feel, I think, in my heart, like I feel like there's an opening for him in my heart to know that because he still is kind of obnoxious in a way, that he's just doing the best he can with what he has, and he actually hasn't been graced with the practice or the ways to learn how to stop doing what he's been doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that is such a critical point for us all to remember, especially with parents. I mean, I suppose if somebody, you know, the kids who are very small now, they can't, they wouldn't have the same ability to let their parents off the hook that older people have. Because this whole looking at your life, attempting to bring consciousness, using psychological tools, having therapy, having just the kinds of things that are common, really, in our culture right now, were not available to people for a really, really long time, ever, as a matter of fact. And so just simply to recognize the opportunities that you have and that you have taken advantage of that were not there for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And where might you be in your life without the opportunities and advantages that you have had and without the desire to follow through on these things? You know, the interest that you have. It's one of those things it's tempting to take credit for the fact that, say, you're intelligent or you're sensitive or you notice things or you're interested in things. But really, we could talk about that as karma, and probably it would be much closer to what's going on than that it's anything that you actually deserve credit or could take credit for.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have these abilities or these gifts or blessings or however we want to talk about them, and instead of just saying, aren't I a lucky duck, that this is true for me, and can't I be grateful for that, we can look at these things and say, and why isn't he like that? Why doesn't he respond the same way? And, you know, it, of course, who knows what he's actually doing, but even if it were true that he is not aware of perhaps the kinds of subtleties that you wish he were aware of, or he doesn't respond to you the way you wish he would, and say it came from an absolute lack of awareness, or, you know, came from complete unconsciousness on his part, how could we feel anything but sympathy? Because I'm projecting that for you, and I know it's certainly for me, the greatest joy and pleasure in my life comes from conscious, compassionate awareness. So to look at somebody and say, you know, this guy seems not to have a lot of that available to him, that's tragic. That's not something that we want to judge a person for and hate and reject a person for, but instead, quite the opposite. We would want to extend as much conscious, compassionate awareness as we could to him in the hopes that it would spark that recognition in him, and that something might open up for him and become available for him that hadn't been previously.
Yeah, because, I mean, I know what it is to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, and to feel so, you know, and I don't know, I'm projecting this all onto him, but before I found the practice, is to suffer and to feel so stuck in it.
Oh, yeah, to be miserable and not know a way out of it, and how sad it is that our reaction to someone like that is to want them to suffer more. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here.
Mm-hmm. You know, and yet it's knee-jerk with almost all of us. I mean, it takes a, you know, we're moving into Jesus, Buddha, Gandhi, Mother Teresa, you know, it's a short list of individuals who were terribly successful at being able to go beyond that knee-jerk reaction of, this person is behaving badly, this person needs to be punished. You know, how do we respond to cruel people? Well, we need to be cruel to them. Instead of, happy people aren't cruel. So this, we can guess, someone who is behaving in a way that is unkind or whatever, must be having a hard time. Let's make their life easier if we can, not harder. And that's hard to do.
Yes.
Yeah, and then, as you say, it just gets compounded and passed along generation after generation after generation. And I think with your father, you know, for whatever he's got going, if we could just see him now at age 3, and then at age 7, and then 11, and 15, and 18, and 23, and, you know, and we just get just little moments. You know, we have one moment with him in his life as it was then. You know, what would that do to our heart?
Yes.
To see that adorable, because, you know, he was at 3, mm-hmm. Little person, and then see the changes as he went through what he went through in his life. And at what point would we say, okay, you no longer deserve our sympathy or kindness or compassion because something has happened to you, because it looks like your heart is closed and you're not a nice person any longer. And so we no longer see you as deserving of anything except rejection and cruelty. And sadly, that's what we do, almost all of us, with each other.
Yeah. Well, what, I mean, the last time, because, I mean, part of this distance or whatever was in some ways based on a conversation you and I had several years ago when a bunch of stuff started coming up. And what I've realized is there'll be a lot, like, okay, so this goes back in some ways to what I'm realizing when I want somebody to change, most noticeably my current relationship or whatever. What I realize is because I get a bunch of sensations in my body that there's some part that says is wrong or I shouldn't be feeling these things, and attribute it to the other person, and then I want them to do something different.
Yep.
and
that's it.
Yeah, yeah. And
you have just nailed human relations, don't you think? Yeah, I'm having an experience that I don't want to have. I'm sure it's your fault. You need to change.
Yes, and so, see, the last time that I spoke to my father, my mother had just put him on, and he started talking to me, and I totally ended up with these, I mean, I was doing it. I ended up with these pains in my stomach like I had most of the time when I was a little kid and started getting nauseous. So I was doing this whole physical reaction and finally said, I don't want to talk to you. You know, I'm having these reactions. I don't want to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm coming to the point, Sherry, where it's like there's a part of me that's wondering if it's the time to do something different.
Yeah. If it's time... In this case, if it's time for me to take responsibility for my own physical being and divorce that from this man.
Yes.
Yeah. Instead of, you caused me to feel this way. Wow, I'm having these feelings. I need to take responsibility for this because it looks like there's some work that needs to be done. There's a lot of upset here that needs to be dealt with, let go, healed, however we want to talk about it. And what, as long as that is uncared for, I am going to need to be in this particular configuration with this other human being.
Right.
And I'm unwilling for that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you have any suggestions on how...
I do. I've given this encouragement to somebody else, actually on this very radio show. So here's what it is. You make a tape of everything...
Oh, I heard that one, yes.
Yep. Everything that you need to hear in order to be all right, no matter what, how the conversation goes.
Uh-huh.
I'll just go through it, just in case somebody's a new listener. And so you make that tape, and you get your headphones, and you put that... You play that in one ear, okay? And you get used to hearing it. You play it, you listen to it, you know, 20, 30, 40 times so that you really know what it says and, you go to a particular feeling of comfort and well-being and reassurance and support and all that when you're listening to it. Then you put the phone on the other ear and you talk to your father. And I'd put the egg timer on. I would talk to him for 3 minutes.
Okay.
You know, and then say, okay, Dad, or whatever you call him, I've got to go now. It was great talking to you. Let's talk soon. Okay, you hang up and you watch everything that happens to you. And then you get ready to do it again. And when you get really comfortable with 3 minutes, you might go to 5 minutes.
Okay.
And it is simply an exercise in taking care of that part of you, in making a separation, in that karma that you've been carrying about that relationship.
Okay.
Now, let us know what happens, okay?
Oh, I will. And thank you also for the three-minute thing, because I heard the one about the tape and whatever, and I was starting to think, well, maybe, but somehow it seems like maybe there's some inner thing going on where this is, you know... It
3 minutes
like
is
right.
A good amount of time. Yeah, you can connect. It's nice. It's friendly. It's happy. Everybody can be on their best behavior.
Okay.
Everybody. No, everybody can be on their best behavior for 3 minutes. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Got you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Xian Ma. You're listening to Open Air with Sher Huber on World Talk Radio. And we are at the end of our first segment here. And we'll be back in a couple minutes with more of Open Air with Sher Huber. Coming up next on Open Air, we'll be talking more about conscious compassionate awareness and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sher Huber on World Talk Radio. welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Sherry, we have another caller on the line.
Excellent.
What's that?
Excellent. Another caller, another exciting look into human potential.
It's wonderful. I'd like to welcome Nancy from California. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi there.
I'm sorry I'm joining the program late. I had rain coming home, so I didn't get to hear all of the first caller.
Of
I really
course
wanted
you
to...
had rain. You're in California. You have rain. What is with this weather?
It's unusual for us.
It's wrong.
No, well,
there is nothing
that's an observation.
Wrong, but this weather is wrong. So what's going on today?
I'm really looking forward to your next participation class, and I was very excited to hear about this new opportunity on dismantling ego in this new format, and it has certainly been an opportunity for me to observe my own ego as I read about the changes in this next format.
Aha. Uh-huh. So the fact that we're going to, this is the year-long class.
Right.
And what were the changes that your ego got involved with?
Well, part of it was the, before it used to send out a lot of email from everybody, you know, and it was a lot of email to read. And I loved that part.
Uh-huh.
And this one it was, well, we're going to send out less. And I'm like, but wait, I might not see myself in it
uh-huh.
if there's less people, you know. And I had to look at that and go, oh, that's my ego.
Aha. Uh-huh. It's a funny thing that people have told me that over the years, that it's this balance between I'm completely overwhelmed by the amount of reading that there is to do, but I have to read it all because one of them could be mine. So that's kind of a fun place to watch ourselves in
it
that
is.
Kind of little bit of a push-pull there for ego.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I really enjoyed the last class on participation.
Uh-huh.
And I am a big fan of all of your books and your work, and I think this is very timely for me now. I've been sitting since the last class lamenting not having a sangha and looking all around and realizing that my two dogs and my cat and my family are serve very well as my sangha, but I'm really looking for the opportunity now to continue my practice.
Yeah, and I'm excited about the year-long aspect of it because the email classes that we've done, while I think they are great, you know, I think the longest one is like 6 weeks or something like that, and that's when we have some gaps in them. So it's very intense for a while, and we're really practicing. And then we have a tendency to do what the ego loves best, which is kind of go back to sleep a little bit because there isn't that constant reminder that just you know, one of the things that is true for the monks is that every day you wake up and you're required to pay attention. You're expected to be aware. And in fact, if you're not, it becomes really obvious really quickly. And, you know, you just, you don't want to be in that place. But in regular daily life, to have things that call us to awareness, it's difficult because we have to generate it for ourselves. You know, so people are trying to read things that are inspiring or they're trying to find somebody else to meditate with or they're, you know, this sort of thing. And so it's that self-generating, and it's self-generating against the momentum of egocentric karmic conditioning that's trying to get us not to pay attention. So I'm excited about the opportunity to be in discussion for a whole year and just see what happens with folks.
Well, I really appreciate you putting it out there and putting the invitation for everybody to join you.
Yeah, and as you know from what you've been doing, a couple of people have said, "What? Why? I can't believe you're charging for this. I can't believe you're charging for the teachings. Number one, and second, I can't believe you're charging so much." And of course, in my world, it's not so much. It's like $50 a month for this, but. And I know $50 can be a lot of money depending on who you are and all of that, you know, what's going on in your life. But it's a fundraiser It's a fundraiser for Living Compassion to, you know, help us continue that those projects that we have, this radio show being one of them, of course. So I feel good about it, and I do think that it's when we make a healthy investment, financial investment like that, it is harder to listen to those voices that say, oh, just quit.
Well, and that's why we pay up front, because you're right. That is the second part of ego when I saw that, and I went, oh, but it's all up front. Oh, but I have to do this. And oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to just be a lot harder to wriggle out of it.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So then we'll probably have to do a follow-up for, you know, all of the things that ego is trying to... But we're going to have a whole year to look at what it says when you this and what it says when you that and what happens when this arises and you don't follow through on that like you should. It's all going to be a dismantling process.
Will it also still maintain the anonymity of
yes.
the people who are writing in?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
Well, it is an interesting experience.
And I'm actually planning on doing some other things along with it. Like I want us to do a live online thing together and probably a couple of conference calls that people can participate in if they want to.
Wow.
So you know, just some extra fun things to, you know, to have that Sangha experience.
Well, I'll make sure that I contact the monks who are helping you, and if anybody needs a technical hand, I will offer some assistance, because I know as we venture into some of these other areas of online chat and bulletin boards and things that sometimes we don't have experience in them.
Mm-hmm. We can always use all the help anybody wants to give us. So thank you for that.
Anything I can do. You would use the expression of paying with the same side of the coin?
Or yes.
The other side of the...
Yes, paying a debt that can only be repaid with the same coin.
I like that. I
yeah.
like that a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you very much.
Thank
Go.
You. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Nancy. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Sherry, I'm not clear in that conversation if people got it that this is an email class.
Yeah.
Coming up.
Yes.
I didn't hear the word email in there, at least not at the beginning.
Aha.
So I just wanted to be clear about that.
Yeah, yeah. And as you know, I think you've participated in them.
Yeah.
It's not interactive. Most of them are not interactive. We don't meet at a certain time and talk online, but it's classes and assignments and just things to look at, focuses and awarenesses and that sort of thing that come onto your computer on a regular basis, and just offer that regular support for staying awake and paying attention. And this one through an entire year. I know what that sound means now. We have a caller.
I just wanted to offer my testimonial, you know, having been a member of the email classes and how really wonderful they've been for me.
Yeah.
And my incredible skepticism before I did the first one.
Really? You were a skeptic?
Yeah. I mean, I thought email, you know, how powerful can, you know, getting an email message and sending an email message be?
Uh-huh.
You know, but the practice is really powerful, and it comes through.
It is. It's like sitting around in a workshop in a dark room.
Uh-huh.
You know, so people are talking, and you can't see who they are.
Uh-huh.
But you can certainly hear what they're saying.
Yes.
And that's the part that's powerful and moving, and it is surprising. It's amazing how close people become, how touched we are by one another, and how much of a Sangha experience it turns out to be. It's such a wonderful use of technology, like this radio show.
Yes.
You know, a short period of time ago, we just simply could not have done this.
Yes.
And so with the email class, you know, we will literally be in conversation with people from all over the world.
Yes.
And it's a great thing.
It's
and we'll
exciting.
Be practicing. And so, you know, it's true, we won't be sending out as many responses from people, but we will be in practice together with a number of people from around the world, and that's very fun.
Yes, and if you want to sign up, please go to livingcompassion.org, and you'll find all the details there.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, and we have another caller, and before we take this caller, I just wanted to mention that we're coming near the end of the second segment, So, Sherry, if you want to continue the conversation through the third segment, we can do that also.
Good.
All right, Sherry, I have some email questions here.
Okay.
Should I take advantage of our little break here?
It feels like a game show. All right, Sherry, are you ready? Now, this question is going to, for $64,000.
For $500, door number one. Hi, Sherry. I have a question about my meditation practice. It seems like conditioning wants it to go to hell in a handbasket. For about a year of daily sitting, it was lovely, very peaceful and centering. About 8 months now, it is getting more and more busy. And where I used to have thoughts float by in my sitting, I now have the opposite. Peaceful moments float by. I know the idea here is for conditioning to sabotage my sitting and have me stop doing it, so I won't. But really, does it go away, or is there anything I can do besides counting? That's from a listener.
Okay. Well, that's great. That is such the question, isn't it?
Yes.
And for me, the point of sitting practice, you know, it is awareness practice. It's not actually peace practice. Now, does it become peaceful as time goes on? Yes, it does. Of course it does. And as the writer knows, that was kind of an extended period that was a long honeymoon before the agitation began. But the point of awareness practice is to become aware.
Yeah.
And so to become aware of all of the ways that conditioning causes us to suffer is an extremely helpful thing. So if this writer would do, now I'm not advocating taking out a notebook and a pen at all, not at all. That would be a disaster. But to do the sort of mental equivalent of that, and that is, so I'm sitting here meditating, and I'm counting my breath, and I would definitely encourage the continuation of that. I'm counting my breath, and I'm just watching everything that conditioning does. I'm not analyzing it. I'm not thinking about it. But if I were to, I watch it as closely as if I were going to take notes on it. Okay? And so I'm just watching. And this is a huge part of dismantling the ego or dismantling conditioned mind. I'm not buying into it. I'm not engaged with it. I'm not involved in any way. I'm simply observing how it does what it does. Now, the moment I buy in and I become distracted or disturbed by it, or I want to be having a different experience, now I've identified with ego being in opposition to ego. Okay? I become conditioned mind playing a game of, I hate conditioned mind. So as soon as I engage there, you know, I can just notice, okay, that's conditioned mind has me. Now I'm going to come back to the breath. I'm going to start counting at one, and I'm just going to sit here, and I'm going to breathe and feel my body relax and just watch what happens. And then it'll try its next thing, and it'll catch me, and I'll say, okay, all right, I see, I got it. So after a period of time, if I'm out on an island somewhere with one other person who's never meditated, I could actually support that person in a meditation practice. And when the person said, you know, it's been so wonderful and peaceful, but now, I mean, my mind is just going crazy. It's so busy. I would say, yes, that's what happens. And then... You see, I could tell that person exactly what I'm saying right now, or something like that, because I would know. And when the person says, and every time I sit down and I get really present, I fall, yes, of course you do. Yep, that happens. And so you see, because there are no surprises after you've seen it all. And that's where we're going. It's awareness practice.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds great.
Let's do it. Let's practice that.
We're going to take a break now. We're at the end of our second segment. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Coming up next on Open Air, in our third and final segment of today's show, we'll be continuing our conversation about conscious compassionate awareness and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Shara Huber on World Talk Radio. Welcome back to Open Air with Shara Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Sherry, I've got a couple more email questions here.
Good.
Dear Sherry, in a previous Open Air show, you talked about the value of being in touch with how we feel and expressing those feelings. I'm wondering how that fits with the notion of, quote, not taking anything personally. In my effort to not take things personally, I find myself trying to suppress emotions when they are the result of taking something personally. For example, someone makes a comment that, quote, hurts my feelings. Sherry, could you talk a bit about this conflict I'm experiencing? From one of our listeners.
That's so interesting. You know, we could do an all-day workshop on that with no problem at all.
Yes.
So somebody says something that hurts my feelings. I mean, that is so far away from emotion.
Uh-huh.
It really is. That's you say something to me and I take it personally. So, I mean, I don't know if you can get a sense of the number of steps that have to go through. So you say whatever it is that you say and I make it mean this. And because I make it mean this, then it means that.
Yes.
And so if it means that, then it's because of this, and it says this about me. And so now, the way I feel about somebody saying that about me is this. I mean, it's such a, so many conditioned steps to get to an emotion.
Uh-huh.
And by the time I get through all those steps, then I get to the karmically conditioned behavior that
uh-huh.
goes with that, which is, my feelings are hurt, I'm upset, and then
uh-huh.
I'm whatever, I'm disappointed, I'm angry, I'm sad, I'm frightened, I'm whatever the emotion is.
Uh-huh.
So that's one kind of trajectory. And the thing that I would encourage the person to do, because we could go through another whole thing, which is the actual physical sensation of what's going on. But the first place that I would encourage this person to look is the whole belief system that takes whatever that is personally. So if
uh-huh.
you, I can't even think what you might say to me, Michael, but maybe you say, people who talk a lot are boring. And I would know that you were talking about me because nobody talks more than I do, okay? So you're saying that about me. And so that means you think I'm boring. And that hits the nerve in me that says I am boring. And then I plunge into, you know, all of my childhood stuff about, you know, my father ignored me when I, you know, there is so much about that to look into.
Yeah.
And the emotion of it that comes with that can be a help. You know, it's sort of a flag. When our, I think it was our first caller, was talking about her relationship with her father, you know, you're in a conversation with somebody and you're feeling like you're going to vomit. It's a clue that there's something going on here.
Uh-huh.
This is something that I need to look into.
Yeah.
And instead of staying stuck in, you know, Michael doesn't like me, and that's why he said that mean thing to me that hurt my feelings, let's look at what do I believe about myself? What do I believe about others? What do I do with information? Do I understand projection? So that I could just realize that that's an issue with that person, and that when I take it on, that's because I'm electing to go somewhere that I'm not actually required. Just so many things to look into.
Uh-huh.
It's really fertile ground for awareness. Not to, you know, once again, not encouraging the person to analyze it, but to go, you know, to go into those, to look forward to the moments when somebody says something that I take personally so that I can have a chance to look at how that structure is put together and held together. That structure of taking things personally, that structure that's in place that enables me to have my feelings hurt because somebody says something.
Uh-huh.
So that, you know, suppressing the emotion about that is just so far down the line that to me it's almost irrelevant.
Uh-huh. Wow.
The whole thing started so far back.
Yeah.
So I would wish that the person would just stand there and jump up and down and go, ah! You know, and then, okay, what happened here?
Uh-huh. And as you were talking, I had this image of a whole structure in place.
Mm-hmm.
And you just hit the activate button.
Yes.
And the whole thing just goes.
Yes, it's kind of like it's like dominoes.
Yeah.
You know, those dominoes all got lined up carefully, one after the other, in exactly the right position.
Yes.
Which is what that kind of karmic pattern is. Then somebody goes, boop, one little touch to one little domino, and the whole thing plays out.
Yeah.
And then what the writer is struggling with is, then when the whole thing is collapsed, now I'm trying to pretend that I don't feel anything as a result of that because I shouldn't have been in that position in the first place.
Uh-huh.
And what we want to look at is, okay, because it goes around and around and around, okay?
Yeah.
So here I am in this place. Now, how am I going to set those dominoes back up again?
Uh-huh.
Because I have to. I have to put that whole structure back in place. I'm this kind of person. I believe this about myself. This is what's true. This is my identity. This is what I'm holding in place.
Yes.
This is what it means when this happens. That's how I have to feel when that happens. This is how I have to feel about how I feel when that happens.
Yes.
And it's all just made up.
Yes.
And it's made up and held in place for one simple reason, and that is that I suffer over it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. If you'd like to join our conversation today, give us a call toll-free at 888-514-2100. We have a few minutes left in the show, and we'd love to hear from anyone out there. Sherry, I have one other email question here.
All right.
Hey, Sherry, just writing to you from England. I find your work refreshingly simple, straightforward, and practical. I've experienced positive results working with listening to self-hate and watching my projections. This work has helped me with anxiety and depression that I have been dealing with for a couple of years now. What I find, though, is that I seem to be living in this cycle in which I feel better and better, and then something changes and I go back to feeling awful again. How long will this go on?
Well, you know, first of all, I just want to remark on the insightful nature of this writer.
Yes.
And realizing the power of this work. So that aside, this will go on for as long as there is resistance to it.
Uh-huh.
Because the only thing holding a structure like that in place is our resistance to it.
Uh-huh.
If the person had a party every time this stuff returned, it would stop returning. Now, that doesn't mean that something else wouldn't arise to take its place.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, egocentric karmic conditioning does not give up easily. It has had us suffering for a long time. And we've been a good investment, and it is tenacious. You know, it's loyal. So it's going to keep trying to hook us in and get a little more suffering out of us for just as long as we're going to do that. And, it's like the previous one of taking it personally.
Yeah.
As long as we're going to buy into something like that, as long as we're going to suffer over it, conditioned mind is going to throw that hook out for us.
Uh-huh.
When we stop believing it, when we stop taking it personally, when we stop getting upset, it's not going to happen any longer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Exciting.
I heard the sound of that phone.
Let's talk to a caller.
All right.
We have Craig from Denver.
All right. Welcome, Chris.
Hey, Craig.
Hey, hi, Sherry.
How are you?
Good. Hey, Michael.
Hi, Craig.
I can barely hear you, Mike. Hey, Sherry, great workshop this weekend.
Thank you. I had a lot of fun myself.
Yeah, I have an awareness question. I something came up for me this weekend where in my sitting I've been focusing. Remember that piece we did on awareness and focus?
Uh-huh.
And I've been focusing, like, from my head.
Yes.
On awareness, like on my breath, and it was always coming from my head to like focus on my breathing or my counting or whatever. And then this weekend there was a shift of like being aware of where my focus is.
Yes.
And it just clicked for some reason, like it's never clicked before, but it's really, I've just been watching where my focus is instead of trying to focus from my head, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
On my awareness. And I don't know what exercise or when it happened, but anyway, I just wanted to say that. And then also it's been a lot more relieving to sit because I'm just aware of where all my focus is all the time, over blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. That focusing from the head, the temptation to put conditioned mind in charge of your awareness is almost overwhelming.
Right.
But when we drop the awareness and attention down there to the hara, that, you know, below, just right around below the navel,
right.
And we can feel it drop, and we breathe to there, and we breathe from there,
mm-hmm.
And the awareness, it's startling, isn't it? Because it seems like awareness and attention has to come from the head, because that's what we're used to.
Right.
But when we drop it down, we begin to realize, my attention and awareness can be in the hara,
mm-hmm.
And I'm just as attentive, and just why? In fact, I'm more so, because conditioned mind isn't there judging and comparing and criticizing and having a story about everything that I'm seeing and feeling and doing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and in the past it's been like, like the thought of sitting, or when I'm sitting and I'm, it's bizarre, like the flashlight's coming from the head down, but it's a faulty battery in the light anyway.
Right.
You know?
You get this kind of strobe effect.
Right, and no wonder, but it was just, I don't know what particular exercise it was that you did this weekend, but one of them, I think it just opened up this place of...
Replaced your batteries.
It replaced my batteries, right. and it was able to, just like be aware of where all my focus is instead of trying so desperately to focus on my breath.
Yes.
You know. And anyway,
yes.
I just wanted to share that, and that was...
Well, I'm glad it worked.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Keep having fun.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks, Craig.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Craig. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're at the end of our show here. Sherry, thank you so much.
It was a distinct pleasure, sir.
Mine as well.
And let's talk again soon.
Let's talk again soon.
Maybe next week.
Next week.
All right.
All right.
It's a deal. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk with you next week.